Welcome back to the Drivecast and happy Monday to you. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. This past week, we jumped back into our series called The Ascent, where we're looking at how God moves on the mountaintops of the Bible. We're talking about how God's purpose for you is established in His provision for you. So if you ever wonder, what does God think of me? Why am I here? Is God even listening? All you need to do is look at the way or ways that He has provided for us. If He gave Jesus on the cross for our sins, is He ever really going to abandon us? Is He going to leave us? And sometimes, even further, I think, like, what does God think about me? And I don't know, sometimes we're frustrated with ourselves. So I think we think that God thinks the very same, that God thinks, you know, it's love, yes, but it's kind of love infected with, you know, disappointment. So the mountain that we looked at this past Sunday was Mount Sinai. And that's where Moses gives the law to the people. But it was really important to God that the people understood that it was covenant before it was commandments, that it was relationship over rules. And He emphasizes that in verse 1, where He reminds the people, hey, I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. In other words, I brought you up here without any commandments. I didn't give you any rules. And so I think the people saw God as Redeemer. They saw Him as Rescuer, as Deliverer, long before the Ten Commandments ever existed. They didn't see the Ten Commandments as conditions to get into a relationship with God, but more so as confirmations that a relationship with God already was in existence. And the first real commandment for the people was to trust God. You know, last week when we looked at Abraham, we talked about how tests grow trust. And this week we see something very, very similar. God said, hey, listen, you trust me. You put the blood on the doorposts back in Egypt with that first Passover, and I will protect you. That was the first commandment, even though it didn't make sense. And so 50 days later, when they stand at Mount Sinai and there's wind and there's thunder, you know, there's loud noises up there on the mountain. And as God's at work up there, the people down in the valley, you know, they get impatient and they start to dance around a calf, a golden calf that Aaron had made for them. They get drunk. And it's kind of a wild party. That's said to our church, it's kind of like the Hebrew version of The Bachelor going on down in the valley. But Moses comes down, the Midrash, which is a Hebrew book of tradition, says that Moses' tongue, when he spoke to the people, was like his tongue was on fire. And, you know, 3,000 of the people just stand in opposition to Moses and eventually lose their lives over it. And God wants the people to remember Mount Sinai so much that He starts the festival of Pentecost. It's established in Deuteronomy chapter 16, but Pentecost is just a word that means 50. And so 50 days after the Passover, they were at Mount Sinai getting ready to receive the law. And Pentecost was just a festival where God said, I want you to remember. I never want this to happen again. God says, I want you to remember that the motive for obedience to me, the motivation for obedience to me is intimacy with me. And that should be easy for us. I imagine the Hebrews stood at the bottom of that mountain and said, you know, when they heard commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me, they were like, how could we have another God before you? We were 400 years in slavery. You delivered us. You cared about us when no one else cared about us. But what proved to be true is that getting the Hebrews out of Egypt was much easier than getting the Egypt out of the Hebrews. And so this festival of Pentecost was a reminder of that. So you fast forward over to the New Testament, to the book of Acts chapter 2. And on the first Pentecost, what do you see? It's 50 days after the death of Jesus at Passover. And what do you see? Just like on Mount Sinai, there was a loud noise. There was wind. There were tongues of fire that rested not on the leader like Moses, but that rested on every believer. And people around, they thought they were drunk because they were hearing what sounded like speaking, but they all heard in their own languages. And that day, 3,000 believers came to life. Not 3,000 people died, but 3,000 come to life in the New Testament. And you see that really Pentecost in the Old Testament, in a lot of ways, was just a setup. That because of what happens on the day of Pentecost, with the Holy Spirit residing on each believer in the New Testament church, the intimacy that Moses had with God on Mount Sinai is offered to every single believer at that New Testament Pentecost. So what does that mean? That means that you are the church. The church is not a building. It's not a facility. The church is not a staff, but that God wants an intimate personal relationship with us. That's why one of our core values is spiritual intimacy, where we say spiritual intimacy means that we are His. You and I have the opportunity, because of what we learned in the law is a good thing, right? Galatians 3:24 says the law is a tutor that is designed to lead us to Christ. So the law taught us that external compliance would never bring transformation, but that the gospel brings internal change. The law is only, it is only skin deep. I can white knuckle it, right? I can discipline myself to tell myself what, you know, the law teaches me what right from wrong is. But the gospel can change my heart to the point that I actually want right over wrong. I can be transformed, be the kind of person that I really want to be. And to do that, the core of Simon Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 27. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said to the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized." That you and I live in a mode of repentance, a mode of turning back to God consistently. The entire life of the believer, this is a quote from Martin Luther, the entire life of the believer is one of repentance. That's the first of the 95 theses. That the same way that you and I come to faith through repentance is the same way that we progress in faith. That on a daily basis, that you and I are turning our heart God's direction, hearing His word, praying it back to Him, receiving what we need from Him for satisfaction, and you and I can find the communion that God had with Moses on the mountain. You are the church. Let me pray for us. And God, thank you for how you love us, how you've given to us, how you've provided for us. And God, your providence is what gives us purpose and meaning. God, it's how we know that we matter in this world, and God, that we're going to matter for eternity. And so, God, we want to live out of that space today. We repent. We turn our lives your direction. We need you. God, will you help us today to see ourselves as your vessels, as the church? Transform, God, not just our actions, but our desires. In your name we pray. Now you take the opportunity to pray as well.